Welcome back to the Effective Ministry Podcast, the podcast that helps you have an effective youth and children's ministry in your local church. I am Tim Bielhart, a children's ministry advisor for YouthWorks in Sydney. Coming up this episode, I've got a conversation between myself, Polly Butterworth, and Pete Oates on the topic of Christian school chaplaincy. Essentially, I wanted to answer the question, how can Christian schools and local churches work more effectively together? Both Christian schools and the children's or youth ministry in our local church are intentionally engaged in the spiritual formation of young people. And while there are various types of private Christian schools in Australia, many of these schools have a chaplain role. Both of my guests today have experience in both local church and school chaplaincy ministry. You'll hear me introduce them at the start of our conversation. I do flag in the interview that Christian school chaplaincy is very different to what we have in government or public schools in Australia. There is a government-funded scheme for chaplaincy in public schools, but these roles look very different and are much less explicitly about spiritual formation than what chaplains in Christian schools are tasked to do. Polly, Pete and I also chat during the conversation about some of the other challenges that local churches can face in partnering with private Christian schools. Not least of which is that the students at these schools tend to travel from a number of suburbs away, or in Polly's case, from all over the country, even overseas. And this means that the students and the families at these schools are not necessarily local to the churches that are nearby. So keep your ears out for that conversation. One other thing I wanted to flag up top here was, of course, it's not just private schools that local churches will be partnering with. In fact, many more of us will be engaged in ministry at our public schools, our government or state schools. Over the next few weeks, I'll be recording episodes related to special religious education, otherwise known as Scripture or SRE, even RI if you're outside of New South Wales. I've also got lined up a conversation about lunchtime groups in both primary and high schools and how these groups can help fuel both your SRE ministry in schools and your local church's children's and youth ministry in the local context. So if you want to make sure that you don't miss any of those conversations, make sure you follow us on Spotify or subscribe in your favorite podcast app so that you don't miss an episode. One last thing, I love hearing about how you're enjoying the podcast, how it's helping you, and any other feedback that you might have. So please write us a review, share us with your friends, and you can email me directly at effectiveministrypodcast@youthworks.net. That's plenty from me. Let's jump into the conversation with Polly Butterworth and Peter Oates. All right, well, we're here today talking about Christian school chaplaincy and the opportunities for connection between Christian schools and local churches. I'm joined for this discussion by Polly Butterworth, who is the chaplain at Abbotsley Anglican School. It's a day and boarding school for girls at Sydney's North Shore. And also Peter Oates, previously a junior school chaplain at Lakes Grammar School, but recently has made the move back to local church ministry as the Children's and Families Minister at Christchurch St. Ives. Thanks for jumping on the podcast, Polly and Peter. I start by noting we're talking specifically today about Christian school chaplaincy, which is different from the chaplaincy program that exists in many government schools around Australia. That's a very different kind of role, much more about generalised non-religious pastoral care for students, staff and families. And the chaplaincy that happens in our government school is not at all about, I guess, what we could call Christian word ministry, where we're opening the Bible with students, we're praying with them, etc. But we are talking about Christian school chaplains, where there is a greater expectation that you'll be explicitly Christian in your role. And you're concerned about the spiritual care of students, as well as, of course, emotional and mental care. I'll get you guys to describe that. So the first question, and I'll throw it to you first, Peter, but do you want to just describe the life of a Christian school chaplain? What's the role? What might an average week look like?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things is the average week is full of variety. There's different things happening every day, but there's things that are obviously set in place every single day as well. So most school chaplains, especially in Sydney, have a pretty high teaching load. So they're teaching Christian studies throughout the day. Certainly at where I was, there would be four chapel services a week on top of the Christian studies teaching. But I was fortunate to have quite a bit of time to spend with students and parents. So we, for instance, ran a community playgroup where parents from the local community would come along. I spent quite a bit of time with teachers and with families and with students themselves. But it is certainly a a role that has lots of variety, and you've got to be ready to talk about Jesus all the time, nonstop.
And what would the, what would your role description say, Peter? What would the, you know, as far as the school is thinking, you're doing this in your role, what's involved in that role?
So the role would be to oversee the spiritual care of students and staff, in my case, in the school, under the guidance of the head of the school, who was actually in the diocese I worked for, was the spiritual head of the school above me. So that was just given to me as a role to do. So I would be doing morning devotions with the entire staff every morning, and spiritual care of the children, which is delivering Christian studies, worship, which is our chapel services, and then pastoral care of students and families as well. Yeah,
great. And being the junior school chaplain, we're talking about primary school students here.
We are talking about primary school students.
So, Polly, describe your role at Abbotsley. Feel free to flesh out any of Peter's answer. But I'm also really curious, being a day and boarding school, that adds different twists. Just describe that part of your role as well.
Yeah, sure. I would echo a lot of the things that Peter's talked about. One thing that I actually find fascinating is thinking about what chaplaincy looks like in different schools, because it actually varies quite a lot. And a lot of people don't necessarily know what an average day looks like. And so they're not really sure about what they're getting into when they go in to be a chaplain. But similarly, from school to school, it can just vary really widely. For me, I have a teaching component. It's about half of my load. I teach Christian studies. I also teach a unit called theology, which is a youth works course that we do. And I also teach studies of religion, which is the NESA course about religion. So that's under our faculty as well. And then, of course, I do all of the more ministry-looking things, the things that you might more typically associate with ministry. So similarly, running chapel services. And that's kind of where boarding comes in as well. So boarders have an additional boarders chapel on a Monday evening, which I run. And that's a really interesting space. It's unlike anything else I've been in ministry-wise, and we have a lot of people from local churches coming in to speak at that, which is part of what we'll talk about today. But a lot of them say, what a weird place to do ministry. Like, this is just a really odd thing that we... And it is odd. It is fantastic, and it's great, and I love it. But essentially, you have this group of majority non-Christian students coming each week to this evening service. There are Christians in amongst us, and for them, they would see that as their church or as their primary spiritual growth space, or however they might define it. And so it functions a little bit more like church for those students than, say, a weekly chapel service in the day school would, where girls are really actively involved in other churches and things. So it's an interesting space to evangelize, but also disciple students in. And I think a lot of the students that we have board from rural Australia, and so even when they go home, their connections with their churches might not be as strong. A lot of the girls talk about their local church only meets once a month, so it's often not on when they're at home, or there's no one their age, or things like that. And so trying to minister to them and see them grow in their faith when it is their primary time of doing that is an interesting challenge that I wasn't necessarily considering when I took on the position. And also with that, we offer confirmation services about once every 2 years. And the majority of people who choose to get confirmed are boarders. So that's just an opportunity for them to obviously confirm their faith. But it's interesting to me that they would consider school as their, you know, primary church community. So yeah, that's just a little bit on that. But the week also involves lots of voluntary opportunities, like our crew group that meets at different times through the week to establish a fellowship amongst the students. It also has anything and everything that, you know, people want to talk about, and that's students and staff and parents or families that, you know, want to connect in with faith and see school as the primary way for them to do that. And also special events, so running like a community Easter service, a community Christmas service. People have weddings or baptisms or funerals, things like that as well.
Yeah, we often say at YouthWorks that the the action is in the local church. We really prioritize the ministry that comes out of the local church. And yet what you're identifying is that there's a significant amount of ministry that happens in these schools, which is why what we're talking about today, that partnership is really key, but also your role as chaplains is so key. Imagine, Pete, that your makeup at Lakes would have been very similar in terms of lots of non-Christian, otherwise non-churched families and children in the school and ministering to them as well.
Yeah, I think we actually probably had slightly higher number of non-Christian families in our school, just purely based on location. And so the church was the primary place, school was the primary place of connecting with Christian things. So for instance, I used to do an assignment with one of the year groups and they had to go and interview a person that went to church, and most of the children could not find someone that went to church.
Yeah, interesting.
And so it was really unusual to realize, well, it was fascinating at first to realize that this is church for them. These kids are going to get it nowhere else except for in the school. So yeah, incredible opportunity.
Yeah. And so in terms of, you know, Jesus says to go and make disciples of all nations, the schools are a place where there are a lot of not yet Christians hanging out, and an opportunity to explain the gospel to them, open the Bible with them, and help them to see who Jesus is and what he's done for them. Now, Polly, you presented at a conference last year. The title of your presentation was Fostering Connections Between Christian Schools and Churches. And it was that presentation that really made me want to get this conversation going. What motivated you to explore the relationship between churches and schools?
Yeah, I think it's that realization that kids become Christians at school, and I would say increasingly so, as kind of the marketplace moves from, you know, the church and that being a real cultural spot of connection. We're seeing that happen a lot more in schools. And so as I kind of found myself adopting a bit more of a missional role and noticing that, oh, that kids are actually becoming Christians here, which is fantastic. But then what's next for them? Although, as I've said, for many people, school is their primary faith community. I don't think that that's a good long-term solution or you know, long-term vision for them, because obviously school ends. We do have a lot of people who still connect with school because they're old girls or still interested in the school. But in terms of a faith community, it really has its limit. And I have students who have just finished year 12 who became Christians at school. And one of my big desires for them was to find a faith community outside of school. And so I believe that the parish has a lot more, or the local church has a lot more to offer than a school does in terms of being able to foster that community. Obviously, we're, you know, doing everything that we can, but there's just practical things like, you know, for those Borders, for example, where Borders Chapel is their primary faith community, they're going to a quote-unquote church service that doesn't include any males. They're going to a church service that doesn't include a generational difference, or you know, can really truly represent the body of Christ in the way that a church in the local parish can. And so something that I kind of cottoned on quite early was, okay, if students are becoming Christians, we need to connect them in with a faith community that's going to be able to see them through university, through adulthood, and that they can really connect in and actually draw the advantages from what it looks like to be a part of a church in a really kind of broad and deep sense. And I guess on that as well, in terms of the depth that we're able to provide in terms of theological understanding or, biblical depth, it's really limited in a school. Courses like theology can offer a little bit more, but when we're majority preaching to a non-Christian audience, there's a limit unto what is wise to talk about. And so it means that students can have a really young faith, and it can be really hard for them to mature deeply in their faith if they're just relying on their school. And especially through those tricky teenage years where they're trying to consider, you know, all of those tricky ethical decisions, those things are really hard and becoming increasingly hard to talk about at school. So having them connected in a church really would help with that. So I think that's kind of the primary place that I started for. But then after thinking about it, saw so many more advantages for those connections as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So just trying to offset some of those natural limitations of the school and also for the sake of the church as well. Now, Peter, just before we started recording, you were talking about the importance of language. So Polly's paper was about connecting church and school, and you were just highlighting there's a difference between partnership and collaboration. And so language is always important and brings a whole lot of freight with it. Do you want to explain what do you see as the difference between partnership and collaboration, and what should we be striving for?
Yeah, it's partnership and collaboration are certainly different. I think partnership is an ongoing relationship between a school and a church. And it's really where you've got, I suppose, you've got skin in the game. Possibly there's a mutual funding or something like that, or whether it's the school and the diocese or the school and the local church, whatever that looks like. Whereas I think what we do a lot of, we do a lot of collaboration. We work together on a project. And I think both of those things are good. I think in this day and age, having a true partnership is really, really difficult. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But I certainly think there's great opportunity and scope for having good ongoing collaboration, one-off projects, bits and pieces. But I'd also really love to see some schools and churches just trusting each other a little bit more and working out whether they could actually put their heads together and actually really make a few things happen. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's start to flesh that out then. Pete, you've gone from chaplaincy to local church ministry. Polly, you have experience in local church ministry as well. How do we start to do this? What is the way in which local churches and school chaplains can actually partner well together? Polly, do you want to kick us off with some suggestions?
Sure. I think I really like, Peter, what you said about getting in a way that's not, doesn't have animosity towards each other, but is really for and pro each other. So I think sometimes some of the conversations that can be around this are talking about fighting for a particular space. Say the Friday night is a really good example that schools and churches both want to run things. And instead of saying, oh, we're fighting for the same space, we're trying to get the same kids to go to school, go to church and have to make these decisions. Do I go to church? Do I do my school thing? Instead actually working together and saying, oh, hey, what's the local church doing and how are we as a school able to connect with that? Or the church saying, hey, what's the local school doing and how can we connect with that? I think that is just a really good starting point to be mindful of each other and to be excited about the opportunities that each other might bring. One of the other reasons that I've been interested in this and just thinking about this is thinking, you know, I'm trying to engage these teens with the gospel, and a stone's throw away, there's another minister who's trying to engage maybe even the same teens with the gospel. Instead of us fighting about who gets to do that when, we could actually be doing that together, and that would be, yeah, that would be really exciting. And so I think starting from that position is probably a great place to start. But Peter, do you have any other thoughts?
Yeah, so we do see this done reasonably well in some spaces. I've seen it done pretty badly as well. One of the classic ones that actually works well, if it's thought through, is the school assignment where students have to go and attend a youth group. Now, I've seen this done in a big school, sends 40 kids to a small church that has a youth group of 20, and it's a disaster. But when a school chaplain and maybe the youth minister at a church have a conversation about what would work best, and they work out the numbers and they work out the timing and they work out all those sorts of things, it can be absolutely brilliant. So just recently at our church, we had what we call Big Fridays, and our youth minister worked well with one of the local private schools, and the numbers of kids that came along were appropriate for the numbers of kids that we had there. And I think there was a couple of hundred kids at every night of that event. And it was really well done, and it was good communication. And I think that was a good example collaborating on a project that had good outcome.
Yeah, that's a great example of a success story. It does come with challenges, though. Polly, what are some of the challenges that churches and schools face when they both have good will towards each other, they want to work well, but there are some things getting in the way or challenges that need to be overcome. What are some of those challenges?
Yeah, there are quite a few. Some are just time consideration. The times that I'm working and that I'm at school are different to the times that don't necessarily match up with what a minister is doing in a church. And so trying to actually just get mutual time together or students to share a similar space together is difficult. I think there's a particular difficulty with borders. Obviously, if I'm interested in getting our borders connected with a local church, that's going to be difficult if they're live in another country during the holidays, or if they live in another town, they kind of need to have multiple places to connect. And then another difficulty that I've found with the boarders is we've had a few boarders become Christians this year, which has been fantastic. And then even if I do get them connected with a church in Sydney and potentially a church where they're from, they're often going to go to uni in another place anyway, because they're, you know, all worldwide travelers now. And so now I'm, you know, having conversations with people in the UK, in Kent, to find another church for someone else to go to. And also the way Christian schools work is that because they're not public schools, you can come from anywhere to go to them, even, you know, in Sydney. And so trying to find one or two churches to say, hey, everyone, you should go to this youth group. Well, that might be an hour away for some people. And so the parishes and the churches that you're trying to connect with are, you know, kind of really wide ranging at that point. And so having a really strong, consistent partnership with one particular church doesn't necessarily work practically for everyone. So yeah, they're some of the issues that I've seen.
Pete, as a put your children and family ministry hat on, what do you wish that chaplains, your previous life, what do you wish they knew about ministry in the church?
Yeah, that's a good question. Look, I think that my journey really went from teaching at school to over 10 years of parish ministry, and then 10 years in chaplaincy, and then back in the parish. And I was pretty naive about what schools were like as far as ministry in schools go when I was in parish. And then coming back now, it's a little bit easier to see the things that I would like people to know. I think one of the things that I see, and I think this is at a leadership level, is that sometimes our school leaders, principals, heads of schools, look at our local churches as if they're small operations where the ministers really don't know what a real fast-paced job's like, and the pressure of school life, it just seems a bit simple to them. And then unfortunately the churches are sitting there looking at the schools going, well, we don't really trust this school because we think they're not theologically astute, and we think they're maybe a bit wishy-washy. And so there's just a bit of a miscommunication there and a lack of trust that can happen. And so what I really love is I'd love, firstly, our school leaders and our head, the rectors, or the senior ministers of churches, to be in dialogue as well. And talking to each other, learning to trust each other, not just the chaplains and the children's ministers and the youth ministers, but coming from both the top and from the ground up.
Polly, starting from your perspective, as you, particularly in the high school where you are, what do you wish youth ministers knew about your role and the way that you do chaplaincy in your school?
I guess that we are really committed to the spread of the gospel and into growing students in their love and knowledge of Jesus. That might sound obvious that that's what we're on about, but I've had some comments which might suggest that we're not particularly interested, or that's not our main goal, when it absolutely is. And so I think, yeah, that trust, that level of trust that, yeah, are really committed to this. And also that I think there's a whole lot of things that school ministers can learn from church ministers, and church ministers can learn from school ministers. And I think if we were both humble enough to admit that, then we could probably benefit a lot. I really love Graham Stanton's paper on a theology of youth. And he talks about how youth are often this kind of prophetic group of society that can tell us about what's coming and what people are thinking and what the new philosophies are. And I feel like I'm dealing with that every single day, multiple times a day. And I would love to share some of the interesting insights that those youth are sharing with me to local ministers. And I would really love to hear from local ministers about how they're training and discipling youth. I think I could probably learn a lot from them as well. So yeah, shared learning and shared humility in that, I think, would be great.
Yeah, I think that shared learning idea is really helpful as, you know, professionals, whether it be in the church space or the school space, who are really engaged with young people, who want to see children and young people come to know Jesus and love him as Lord and Savior, and dealing with the issues that they come up with is really significant. Let's presume we've got a child who is in a Christian school, they've got a chaplain, they're also connected in the church, so they've got a youth minister or a children's minister. How they're the linchpin between these two different relationships. How can the church and the school work together towards that child's spiritual and emotional needs? How can they be well discipled across those two spaces? Peter?
Yeah, look, I think one of the things that we need to, as Polly said, we've got to really, we've got to make sure we're being humble enough to know that everyone's doing the, has the best in their heart for this child. So we, as a church, I want to be encouraging my kids. As a minister in a church, I want to encourage my kids that go to the local private school to be attending the crew group, to be participating well in chapel, to be living a godly life and being an example as much as they can of a Christian presence in the school supporting the chaplaincy. And from a chaplain's point of view, I'd be sort of wanting the same thing. I'd want them to be getting to church with their families, as we know that, you know, the parents are the number one spiritual, give the spiritual direction of a child in a Christian family. But there's two other great places that they can have that input, and it's the school and the church, and certainly never to have them fighting against each other. And I actually think this gets harder as they get older, because as they head up towards youth group age and then into university age, sometimes schools say, well, church is more likely to say to a school, just you're spending too much time there, you're not participating enough in youth group, you're too committed in one space, and we want you to be committed to us. And so it's partly a time commitment, but I would certainly want to see, again, that just communication, talking together and working together in the best interest, spiritual interest of the child.
Polly, those three dynamics, the household, the church and the school, can sometimes pull in different directions, as Peter's just said. How would you navigate and how would you best care for a student who was feeling a bit of a tension between those three influences?
Yeah, I think, thankfully, the way that when you're studying to be a teacher, there's a real big emphasis on seeing a student as a whole person. And I think that that's something that I've learned from teaching, is that we always are asking questions about what is going on in their whole sphere. And so what is going on with their parents? What is going on with their broader communities? And so when I'm speaking to Christian kids at school, I'm asking questions about what their friendships look like, where they see their main faith community, what their parents' faith is like and how that's been an influence on them, how much they are involved in a church. And then I seek to figure out what my role can be, already having known all of the other supports that they have in their life. So if they're really committed to their church, then I can say, great, well, you don't need me to be a particular person who's this, you know, big presence of faith development in your life. I'll just step back. I'll encourage you to keep doing those things. And even really frank conversations around, we have a lot of those really committed girls who are so committed to their church, and then they want to be really committed to crew and they want to be in crew leadership. And I'll say, look, you don't have to be a crew leader. You know, if you have other obligations at church, that's okay. You don't need to be this super Christian in every single sphere, because you're a holistic person that has different commitments in different places, and we need to talk about what's actually going to work for you. And I'm not precious about having the particular person in my camp, you know, leaning on the school as their faith support. For some students, they'll say the complete opposite, and they'll say, you know, I'm a strong Christian. I'm actually not very involved in my church, and I'm actually finding that really hard, and I need to kind of lean on the supports at school a little bit more. Okay, well, what does that look like, and how actually do we get you re-engaged with church or going to a church where you can feel engaged? So I think just really understanding each student as a holistic person and not being exclusive about where they have to spend their time. Their faith development is so much bigger and broader than that, and their commitment to Jesus is so much bigger and broader than you coming to my event on this day because I think it's good that you should be at my thing. Yeah.
I think that's really helpful, having the discipleship. Yeah, it's the students' relationship with Jesus and their communities that is key, not their particular attendance at a particular program. And yeah, I think it's really lovely what you said, the humility to be able to say my program that I'm passionate about and I, you know, am employed to do may not be the place where you get the most benefit, and that's okay. Mm. But realizing the tension there as well. So I think that's really, really, really helpful. We're coming up towards the end of our time. Majority of our listeners are going to be in the parish end of this spectrum. Is there anything you can help them to do in terms of engaging well with the chaplains at Christian schools that are nearby?
Certainly, I would be working hard at regularly communicating with the head of local private school if you're in a parish, or the chaplain, and try to set up meeting times to have a chat and a pray and find out what's going on. There's certain skills that teachers have, as Polly's just beautifully said, that are pretty unique, and there's a lot to learn from the way that they see a child and the work they've done there. But for both of them to get alongside each other and to have that real trust and build up that trust and understand that it's so important to have this mind of collaborating in the life of a child, working towards partnership, you know, that might happen one day when we work out what that looks like. I think that's a great place to start.
And Polly, for any other school chaplains who are listening in, what's a suggestion, a way forward out of this conversation?
Call, Facebook message, email. That's what I tend to do, is just email and try and contact anyone who will listen to say, hey, we'd love to collaborate with you. We'd love to partner with you and see, you know, who's eager and who's interested. And, you know, I tried to offer some really practical ways in which I'd love to partner. Coming and speaking at Borders Chapel is one that I'm using a lot at the moment. But there's so many other ways, and just saying, hey, this is my idea. I want to move forward with this. And are you on board? And yeah, that's what I found works.
Excellent. Polly, Peter, thank you so much for jumping on. It's been a really helpful conversation, thinking about connecting schools and churches, partnering, collaborating all together, and building that the strength for the sake of the discipleship of our young people. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
The Effective Ministry Podcast is a production of Youth Works in Sydney. We want to see effective youth and children's ministry in every church. And one of the ways that you can help us do that is by letting people know about this podcast in all the usual ways, like, comment, share, and review on your favourite social media and podcasting platform. If you've got comments, thoughts, or questions for this podcast, you can email us at effectiveministrypodcast@youthworks.net. And also check out youthworks.net for other ways that YouthWorks can help you have an effective youth and children's ministry in your church.